those who gave. For more information on how you can make a difference, go to vettix.org.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
This is interesting. Who is the underachiever? Is it Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees?
It could be both.
You think it can be both?
It could be both.
All right. 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA. The lines were ringing during the break, so we'll get to your answers here in a quick second.
Something that would be worth looking up to is just to, out of curiosity, what the divisional records were like throughout those years.
Right.
Because when you look at the Packers division of the
Lions,
Vikings,
it's been the Saints and Falcons predominantly.
The Panthers
had a nice run.
There was a year where the Saints, Falcons, and Panthers were all in the playoffs.
But here's my thing. And the reason I'm bringing this up and saying this is because it kind of goes off of Mike Tannenbaum, sort of, you know, this guy's better than where you are matters. Who's your coach, your offensive system? You know, it's the same thing, like, you know, with different quarterbacks, whether it's Marino and others. I mean, it depends who's around you, right? Elway didn't win a Super Bowl till he had a run game. And all. You can make a case and argument for any guy that's wearing a gold jacket, whether or not they're good or bad, if they would have been in a different situation. I asked you all at the top of the break there, I said, okay, let's switch it. Drew Brees in 2006 goes to Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers, it comes here, or he's a Saints quarterback, not Brett Favre, it's Drew. Who wins the most MVPs in Super Bowls? Is it the same or is it different?
Like,
would Aaron Rodgers have won more games here with Sean Payton?
Not with the defense.
Inside, in the dome. You don't think so.
It doesn't matter when your quarterback can put up 40-something points in a game and they're on the sidelines in the last 2 minutes and the game is taken away from them by the other side of the team every single time.
Yep. Okay.
That was the thing is you would just watch Drew helplessly on the sidelines. You have these games, you know, Beastquake. That was something.
I understand.
And I just, it hasn't been as bad with Aaron Rodgers.
So Rodgers wouldn't have helped. Right, okay. Well, so he's not, sir, your assertion is, and clearly, because they've made the playoffs, what, 7 straight years, something like that, under McCarthy.
Well, that.
They had the better team.
I mean, they had a better defense, but I also think that the relationship with Sean and Drew worked so well because of that leap of faith that they took on Drew and trusting him and then that paying off.
Mm-hmm.
I really, having that type of bond and trust in someone that says, you know, I'm good. And then he actually, you know, ends up being good. Does that play into Sean's, you know, additional levels of trust with him? I've always wondered what Sean would do with Aaron Rodgers, but I think that it's, you know, pretty impossible to say which.
Quickly joining in a phone call.
Also, how many, you know, times during those 7-9 season did Drew Brees have, you know, plus 5,000 yards in passing, and it really did nothing to help the Saints win.
I mean, I understand
the next level.
I guess my point that I'm saying
how would Aaron Rodgers change if Drew Brees is putting up those kind of numbers?
Right.
Exactly.
And they're still the same
and
product
has more game-winning drives.
7-9.
I guess what I'm saying is Tom Brady has, what, 6-7 Super Bowls. I get it. If Marino had a defense, Marino had a run game, Marino had a better team, you know, a guy that clearly was an incredible quarterback,
I mean,
would he have more wins?
Drew
and all
had
5,000
yards. Season.
And he didn't make the playoffs in three of them.
Yeah.
Right. I get it.
I will never forget that game where they played the Giants, and I believe it was like 51-49.
So Sean Payton, again, because he went through how many defensive coordinators, and his team couldn't get it right on that defensive side? Would you say that part of his legacy is squandering opportunities to win a Super Bowl with a quarterback like that?
You could say the same
thing. I think that's fair.
You could say the same thing with the Green Bay Packers.
Right, with McCarthy, got fired eventually.
Here's the thing. 2018 makes the difference. That's for me. If the no call doesn't happen, then the Saints probably win another Super Bowl, and then this conversation is a moot point.
I think if they make the plays in that game and they win the Super Bowl, then this is a moot point. That game wasn't just lost in a no call. Yes, it helped make that happen.
Let's go to callers.
I hear you. I'm just telling you that. It wasn't just that one play.
I had this conversation with him right after the game.
Oh,
I called him. And the whole causeway back, I was just
Well, because the game would have ended. That's the thing. So everything that happened
could have ended a lot earlier, and the defense could have made different plays. They could have not given up a touchdown before halftime. They could have given up a touchdown not before overtime. They could have not thrown an interception when they had the ball first. I mean, we can go on and on, but if you want to just focus on that one play, sure.
I mean, where a player intentionally targeted someone's helmet in a year, in an age where we're well aware of
concussions. I'm not saying it was not a blown call. I'm not saying it was a blown call. There was an incompletion before that. There was a missed assignment on a run. I mean, on that drive alone.
That's great, but that play decides the game, essentially, and then you don't look back on the incompletions when you go to the Super Bowl.
Any play can decide a game. Any play can decide a game.
Yeah, but that was a play that was taken out of
the team's
hands.
When they settled for a field
goal
after the interception, instead of three, they could have got seven. That play could have decided the game. Couldn't it? D, thanks for calling the show. Maddie's giving me daggers. What's up, D?
Hey, guys. Y'all are pretty much, you're right on about, you know, the quarterback doesn't get a fair shake. Like a guy in the NBA, he gets to play defense also. You know what I'm saying? And as a quarterback, you're only as good as you can make what's around you, and then you can't even play defense. As far as Drew Brees, you know, remember they came in a disaster area with a 3-13 team, and you know Aaron Rodgers inherited a pretty good team after Brett Favre left. You know, another case in point, Drew Brees around here is a hero. Okay. When was the last time you talked Archie Manning, which was our hero? That's been a long time because Drew Brees has put us on the map. Aaron Rodgers, you go ask somebody from Green Bay. My neighbor's from Green Bay. He'll tell you he'll take Brett Favre over Aaron Rodgers any day of the week. And you've got to look at it this way. Drew Brees, as small as he is not as big of an arm as he had. He's the guy that he knew what he was doing and what was going on before the snap. Aaron Rodgers, a lot of times, does the Patrick Mahomes, I got to scramble and make a play. So if you want to say he can make a play more than Drew Brees, oh, absolutely. I'll say that. But as quarterback-wise, Drew Brees was a general out there. He knew where he was going. He did more like Joe Montana than any other quarterback out there. Maybe Tom Brady. Because Tom Brady knows what's going on before the play starts also. That being said, Drew Brees, just the accolades that he has done for this area, Aaron Rodgers couldn't even come close to. And remember, Sean Payton would have a different game plan for Aaron Rodgers than he had from Drew Brees. And how many times has Sean Payton told you that he could sit back and watch Drew Brees work? Because Drew Brees knew what he was doing. Sometimes Aaron Rodgers needs to be coached. And they've already done said that a few times. If you watch TV, I just think that Aaron Rodgers' talent might be better, but he does not come close to what Drew Brees has done because of his incapability, okay, if that's a word, and what he had to work with at the start. So, I mean, you got to remember this right now, just like you said earlier, Dan Marino. Dan Marino, Gus, we old. He was our guy. You know he was our guy. So, because we value the championship too much, Tom Brady, God bless him, has devalued the championship so much because he's got so many that now we just look at quarterbacks. Oh, he's only got one championship? Oh, he.
I think you.
They got the ring.
I think you bring up a lot of good points there.
Not because they wasn't great quarterbacks.
Yeah, but
it's a different deal.
Right.
It's not like a basketball player that can, you know what, I'm going to guard their best man, and their best player can't stop me. Well, guess what? Your chances of winning are going to be great.
Right.
D, we're losing you in and out, man.
Yeah.
Thank you for the phone call, though, but we got the gist of your phone call, though. I appreciate it. Go ahead.
I mean, a lot of good points that he made there. I think one of them, especially being kind of like that Aaron Rodgers might have had that natural talent, and sometimes that can almost be a hindrance. It's kind of like those kids in school, and I was one of them growing up where I, you know, was a little naturally smart, so I could kind of just rely on that. And then I realized when I got to college that I didn't know how to study for tests. Like, I had kind of relied on this talent that got me only to a certain level. But then you hear about Drew Brees being in the locker room for 10 hours and going over plays hundreds and hundreds of times. And then you hear about Tom Brady watching the Super Bowls that Eli Manning beat him over and over and over and over again. All you hear about is his drive and this competitive want and ethic. But not to say that Aaron Rodgers doesn't have that, but
it's his personality as to why you don't hear those things or feel that way. Do you not think that he is that way?
I don't know, because I wouldn't necessarily say, Drew is the most effusive person either. He's kind of quiet as well, but it really speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that he brought up, I think is also a good point of, again, just kind of that the defense non-ability to play that. But I also just was curious to just kind of look up their career earnings, and not that this matters, but it kind of does. But in 16 seasons, Aaron Rodgers has made $240 million, and in 20, Drew has made $269 million. So four more seasons, and that's, not even a years long contract. Tom Brady is the same way. I think they've taken a lot of team friendly deals to help their teams kind of get better. And I just feel like, and I'm starting to come around on Aaron Rodgers more. I don't necessarily think he's always had the fair shake, and I think that's kind of come out more and more, but it always kind of seems like, he goes on these MVP campaigns where it's kind of about me, it's kind of about me. And then I look at Tom Brady and Drew Brees, who are really about keeping their teams together and taking these lower deals and putting in that extra work. When you're, Tom Brady and you're in the sixth round coming out of Sarah High School in Michigan, and you're Drew, who's 5'9". Everyone said that he couldn't throw coming out of college. And then, he gets his shoulders separated from his body. I think having to overcome that adversity just gives him the edge to me.
Yeah, the 7-9 seasons, Drew kind of didn't really take one for the team, though, with his contract.
I can tell you in the locker room, I had several running backs and people say it's all about Drew and his stats.
Yeah.
So I think that you can say that at the same time, though, if he's your best option,
yeah,
you're going to throw the football. A lot of that happens to be because of the coach. Sean Payton. Believe me, we have sat on this show for years and be like, Sean, for the love of, please run the football, and he won't.
But he has since 2017.
Right. He has gotten better at it, but he got here in 2006.
Yeah, but it's a passing league.
I understand.
Dear Thomas, excuse you.
Doc, believe me, he was one of the guys that told me he'd like to run the football more. Doc, what you got?
This is Josh. Real quick, I got a couple of things. I keep on hearing about trust and the quarterback and the coach relationship and whatnot. Aaron Rodgers has played 90 less games than Drew Brees. 90. And he has 140 less interceptions than Drew Brees. He's only 110 touchdowns away, okay? He has the best touchdown interception ratio of all time when it comes to quarterback play. He has three MVPs. The one year he didn't have an MVP, his team went 15-1 and had the 32nd ranked defense in the league. And he lost one game. So with the whole idea about the defense letting down, I understand that. But the Packers the defense over the past 12 years have actually given up about 29.5 points per game. So every week, Rodgers has to put up more than 30 points a week. So I understand we could argue about stats and whatnot, but this guy has done way, like Maddie said, they haven't, Donald Driver is the last first round pick they've had giving him a wide receiver. Drew Brees has had Michael Thomas, Jimmy Graham, Alvin Kamara, Marcus Colston. Other than Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones as of late, and Donald Driver, other than that, Rodgers hasn't had anyone. There's no question that Rodgers is a better quarterback. Mm-hmm. And this whole, what he does for his community and stuff, yeah, that's great when you have one city making the argument, but, there's 400 million people in the country, so they're objective in looking at production. I just don't see how Brees can be even compared to Rodgers. Rodgers is only 2 inches taller than him, by the way. I don't understand how Maddie can get so behind Brees on this. It's so hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, I said this before. It's definitely, there's a level of bias here. And yes, you do bring up a good point that, to 400 other million people, it might not have been as important. But I think, and this might have been the previous caller that brought this up, where it's, or we were just talking about this, where it's more like the situation that Brees walked into versus the fact that, he saved the city. And you brought up Marcus Colston, Jimmy Graham, and all those people. But you have to remember, those were fifth round, sixth round picks who, Drew made great. So those weren't first round picks. The only one was Brandon Cooks. And since then, that's really all he's gotten. Michael Thomas wasn't a first round pick. So Drew has made undrafted receivers better. And that's where, you know, I respect him. But Aaron Rodgers, I mean, is certainly obviously a great quarterback. I couldn't rank them numerically, quite frankly. I'm not one to do that. I have clouds.
Sports Hangover continues next to Marlon Favorite on ESPN New Orleans.
Listen, when was the last time you spoke to someone that was 65 years old? And when you were done, you felt like the sense of loyalty. And we were all raised that way. That's why at Golden Motors, we have been around 65 plus years and it shows. That's why we've been around so long. We cherish everyone that stops by and gives us the opportunity to let them join our Golden Motors family to make your next purchase as pleasant as possible. Give us a call for your next new Chevy or Buick, 985-325-1000, or visit goldenmotors.com. Golden Motors, where price is priority.
As a leader in the oil and gas industry, Joe Septic Contractors caters to oil field clients, offering vacuum truck service for offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Their rental department offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings for easy maneuvering, also holding tank rentals and portable hand washing stations. So call Joe Septic Contractors 24/7. At 985-632-5592 in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, and Abbeville. Or visit their website at joeseptic@viscom.net.
Avenue Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Allstate is known for quality insurance, but you might not know them for low rates. That's about to change. With Allstate, you can save up to 25% when you bundle your home and auto. You know what else you might not know? The chicken came before the egg. With Allstate, you can lower your rates, not your expectations. Visit Allstate.com or call an agent for a quote today.
In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company, Allstate Vehicle and Property Insurance Company, and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Can we talk
sports? Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. Marlon Favorite. Sir, how are you today?
Feeling good, Goose, man. Just enjoying the break of rain we have. Hello, somebody. Boy, it's been raining out here in Nola. Cats and dogs.
Well, now you jinxed it.
Yep, that's it. It's going to storm the rest couple of days. Thank you for that. I got myself some tri-tip earlier this morning over at the store. I'm going to smoke that over the weekend if it doesn't pour and rain. We're inside of, what, a month now, right? 4 weeks. Your Cowboys will be taking on the Steelers in less than a month. August 5th, the preseason opener of the Hall of Fame game. And as we get closer, obviously, look, we're all kind of talking about different position groups. We're talking about different things with players, such as who's better, Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees. We've been having that discussion here for a little bit. Who would you say is the better quarterback and why? They're both Hall of Famers. I understand that. One has three MVPs, one has none. They both have one Super Bowl win. Who do you think is the better quarterback?
Ooh, this is a tough one, Gus. This is a very difficult question. Of course, being biased, I would say Drew Brees. Was just simply using my football knowledge and then looking at every area, you have to give the credit to Aaron Rodgers, especially with both of the guys winning Super Bowls, because I feel like Aaron, he's taller. He has a stronger arm. He's more mobile than Drew. Drew's more accurate, right? But I think Aaron has a little more upside. So if I had to pick one guy, I would definitely go with Aaron Rodgers.
One of the things that we were talking about when you make these comparisons or comments and, you know, is it rings? Is it championships? Like, what makes a good quarterback good? What makes him great? Because, look, we were kind of talking during the break there, Eli Manning, right? There's a lot of hate towards, you know, when no one really considers him as one. He's won two Super Bowls, and even Peyton Manning posted, if it's not for the Mannings, like, Tom would have, like, what, 10, 11 Super Bowls or something. He beat Tom twice in the Super Bowl, and he made plays, and he brought the Giants two championships. So, as a defensive lineman, you've played with quarterbacks, obviously, on your team and chased others. What characteristics, like, what would make you say that's a good quarterback or that's a great quarterback? Like, give me greatness. What makes a quarterback great as a defensive tackle for you?
What makes a quarterback great is the ability to have pocket poise, right? Be able to, like, that's what makes Tom Brady so great. It, you know, being his practice squad defensive lineman week in and week out when I was in New England, the dude just looks so calm in the pocket. I mean, I don't care. Like, even if people go back and watch that play, if people go back and watch that play when he got hurt, when he got hit, he was sitting there. He didn't move or nothing. He stood in that pocket until it was time to get going. And I think that's the thing that really stands out in a good quarterback. Under pressure, when it's a cover zero and you know the center in the house, could you be calm and not get rattled and throw a good ball? That plays a role. And, of course, all the other steps too, Gus. Are you a mobile quarterback? Obviously, when all breaks down, you can take off. Are you a quarterback that has a strong arm, an accurate arm? Drew Brees, I've never seen somebody throw a ball so accurate. That's what sticks out about Drew Brees. That's his legacy, an accurate thrower. Not the strongest arm, but he can put it, you know, if he's trying to, hit a billboard from I don't know, maybe 40, 50 yards away, and the billboard says, hello, I think he can hit the E. You know what I'm saying? And hit it right. That's the type of skill set he has. So the mobility for sure in pocket poise is the key things in quarterback.
And we had we were talking before about kind of like overcoming adversity, and not so much in the sense of, you know, what he stepped into, but kind of in that sense, you know, Aaron Rodgers came into a continuation of, you know, a playoff team with Brett Favre at the helm. Meanwhile, you know, Drew kind of inherited this team that was mostly amassed of a bunch of free agents and undrafted people that really came together in 1 year, and kind of having to overcome those years of bad defenses. Like, does that play into someone's legacy, or is it more, you know, on the quarterback to kind of overcome that in spite of all of that?
Well, a lot of that, that's a good question, Maddie. A lot of that stays away from their legacy because you can't really control your defense. Tom Brady is someone who benefited off really great defenses. I think that played a major role in his legacy. But a quarterback being able to put a team on his back and lead them with an inconsistent defense, with an okay offensive line, like what Russell Wilson was able to do in the last 2 years, not having the protection he needs to survive out there in Seattle, shows a lot. That says a lot about his legacy.
He was an MVP candidate at the beginning of the season, right?
Yeah. So give him a good offensive line. So towards the tail end, Maddie, of Drew Brees' career, if you notice, we really started to invest in solid offensive linemen just to preserve their quarterback. So a guy like Kyler Murray, right? Tom Brady knew he was going to draft old boy out of Iowa because he knew the pieces he needed to fulfill that Tampa Bay's offensive line. So I look at it like that: the defense, the Lions taking inside the trenches. Watch out there now, hello. The Lions play a major role in your secondary on defense being able to be productive, and then also your on offensive line helps the quarterback out a lot.
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of that came, you know, when Jeff Ireland came into the building, and people the last couple of years have been a little, you know, angry at first with these drafting decisions where, you know, it went from Eric McCoy to Cesar Ruiz. But at the same time, you know, the game is won in the trenches, like you said. And to me, almost, you know, with this moving towards more of a mobile passing, or, you know, like more of a mobile position at quarterback, it's almost like you have to have a set of legs now to be successful. So, you know, at least to me, people like, you know, Drew and Tom, who run kind of like goats, for lack of a better term, just very horribly, and them kind of having to have that pocket presence and staying under pressure rather than taking off and running. You know, there is in my opinion, something to be said about that, like exactly like you said, that calmness under pressure in the pocket when you really don't have your legs as a luxury.
Mm-hmm. And the discipline and being able to make those decisions under in crunch situations. You know, we didn't see Drew Brees a number of times have two-minute offenses he's running. They're down. They're losing in the fourth quarter. They don't score. And the team gets the ball and nearly it's over, and Drew Brees came up with wins. Aaron Rodgers did the same thing. Like, that stuff matters as quarterbacks. Quarterbacks that have longevity are able to do those things. You know how hard it is to make it in the NFL? It's tough, let alone be able to prove your point 20 years back-to-back-to-back to a worthy starter. So, I mean, what these guys are able to accomplish, especially at their age, like these guys are in their 40s. Drew Brees did this through his 40s. Tom Brady is still doing this through his 40s. It doesn't have anything to do with his speed, his strong arm. It's the decision-making. Okay, I've seen this a million times. I know what this defense is about to do. Let me do a hard count. Ah! All right, boom. I saw where you bumped. You showed what you was about to do. Bam. All right, y'all, we're going to run this play. And then, boom, it happens like magic. That's because they're in the matrix. They've seen it so many times, man. It's crazy.
Speaking with Marlon Favorite. Marlon, two final things probably before we wrap up here at the bottom of the hour. I want to touch on something that we heard earlier today. Look, it's the funny season. I always say it's lists season. And it's also, as Maddie found out today, Phil season. So Mike Tannenbaum was giving a host of topics. One today was the Bengals will regret drafting Joe Burrow over Justin Herbert. It's kind of what we're touching on here, though, to an extent, right? Situations, talent, team. Peyton Manning said it best to Joe last year, right before he got drafted around draft day. There's a reason you're going to the team you're going to at number one. They're not any good. The Chargers were just recently removed from being a playoff team with Anthony Lynn. They got pretty good receivers. They got a nice running back there. They got some talent over with the Chargers. So he was in a better situation perhaps, but it's silly again already 1 year in, huh? Are we doing that? And he didn't even stop with Burrow. He brought up that, you know, the Browns picked the wrong quarterback and Baker should have been Lamar and all these other players and stuff. It's just crazy when you look at, I guess, stuff like this, right?
It is, Gus. It does say it is mind blowing when you look at it from that perspective, and just being able to you take Joe Burrow. People have short-term memories nowadays. People forget what this young man did in his two seasons at LSU. We know 2018 was a warm-up year. And then the way he was able to not only connect with his receivers, but be able to manage the game. And that's what the Bengals saw. I'm scared of the Bengals this year. Let me tell you something. A quiet secret with the Bengals, and I hope this kid makes the roster, see Jamar Chase and Puka Williams together in that offense? It's going to be nasty, Gus. Those are two guys that you can toss them the ball in space and they make magic happen. So I love the receiving core and the running backs that Joe Burrow have. They're making that defense better. And, again, improving that offensive line because that was the big talk. Why are they drafting Jamar Chase? They need to get an offensive lineman. Oh, no. You need to create chemistry on a team that you're building. And that's the best way to do it. Lastly here, too, guys, on that same point, people forget that Peyton Manning didn't jump off the porch as an MVP.
Right. No, he got killed.
Hello, somebody, Gus. Gus know what's up. It took a while for Peyton. Peyton to tell yourself, man, Fave, I didn't just jump off the porch. Peyton told me Jamarcus Russell was a better quarterback than him. But who told me that? He told me and Joseph Addai in the locker room. He said, guys, Jamarcus is way more talented than
he's incredible. He just, man, didn't see it. It's a shame. I mean, I know we make fun of it all the time, Matt, even still today. The old throwing on one knee, 70. Try that. If you think that's not ridiculous arm, like, go get on a knee somewhere on a goal line at a high school play and just throw it as far as you can. You're not throwing it 70 yards. I mean, it's just not. And it didn't click on that guy. You know, it's a shame. But, man, there's stories like that everywhere else. You have to Maddie's point, you have to take advantage of your situations. You brought up with Drew taking advantage of that situation. He said it 100 times, even more recently when he was at the TPC, the Saints took a chance on him. You know, just you have guys that fight and work. Jordan's point where he talked about the Pels and players and stuff. Who's working out right now? Who's in the off season doing it when you're not seeing it? Some people are motivated. Some go on their talents and it takes them that way. That's sports, right, Marlon? That's why some people are Hall of Famers. Some people have nice careers and some people never make it.
And that's how it goes. I just got off the phone with Ryan Perilou. He's developing quarterbacks now, down here in Louisiana, just training them and stuff like that. Those two are the most talented quarterbacks I've seen. You know, those guys, the way they dissect the game, just the raw talent that they have. And they get it now. You know, me and DeMarcus talk from time to time, and me and Ryan probably talk about once every 2 weeks. He came on my show just a few months ago recently. And those guys, through their experience, whether good or bad, are able to share those stories and help the next man. So I'm excited about Joe Burrow this season, y'all. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about seeing Jameis Winston here. Y'all, I'm just ready for football season, man.
I'm with you, dude. Dude, it's like four Thursdays from this Thursday. Training camp starts.
I'm ready, y'all. Right? I can't wait. This is going to be a year.
All right. We'll see you in studio before then, all right? Come in here. We'll talk some football.
Let's do it. You know we got to do our studio training camp and then head out there. Let's keep that routine going, baby.
At Big Faye 504 is a way to follow Marlon on Twitter. Inside the Trenches, the podcast. Sports Hangover continues next. Thank you, Marlon. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, y'all. Y'all have a good week and talk to y'all at the end of the week.
All right, sounds good. We have lost Maddie for the entire rest of the show, probably. No, she'll give you an update. Italy and Spain, she's paying attention, but we're keeping an eye on
it. Well, I did have time blindness and realized that 30 minutes had gone by, but yeah, it is nil-nil.
Well, you didn't see me go bananas. Like Friday, I was going bananas in studio, dude. I was going bananas. Sorry, I had your mic down. I know you're going. We'll be back. Sports Hangover. How is it 2:30 already? I feel like the show's gone by fast today, huh?
No. Yeah, well, Mike Tannenbaum's takes.
Mike Tannenbaum's takes. Yeah, exactly. Sports Hangover continues next.
AutoZone. Welcome to AutoZone. Ugh, having some starting trouble? We can help you out. Let's start with a free battery test. If you just need a charge, we can help with that too. And if you need a new battery, we've got a wide selection of replacement batteries starting at just $79.99. And we're the only place you can find proven tough Duralast batteries, including Duralast Platinum with AGM and EFB technology. That's why we're America's number one battery destination. Get in zone, AutoZone. Claim based on data from the NPD Group 2020.
Who doesn't want instant gratification? If you're looking for satisfaction, there's no need to wait. With Credit Karma Money, you could win cash reimbursements for debit purchases. And when you make a purchase between July 1st and July 23rd, you'll be automatically entered for a chance to win $1 million. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and have the chance to start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
Join us this weekend for the Blue Boot Rodeo. Tune in as we broadcast the results live from the leaderboard this Saturday, July 10th from 2 to 5. That's the Blue Boot Rodeo, July 8th through the 10th. Our rodeo broadcast is brought to you in part by Ashley Barrios, State Farm Agent, Golden Motors, Total Urgent Care, PCM, and Neil Small Engine. That's the Blue Boot Rodeo this Saturday, July 10th.
Bart and Han.
You know, whenever you're forcing somebody to do something, you want people to do it for the right reasons. And I think you only get that by exposure and being able to maybe have some type of assistant coaches award where you have all these assistant coaches in one place. Then that way you have the owners there and then they have opportunity to engage. And yeah, you're going to have some type of tampering, but they get to engage and get to see these people as people.
Bart and Han, weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
What would you say you do here?
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
David on Twitter, at GCat_17. Donald Driver was a seventh round pick. Also, Green Bay's division has been bad, in all caps, outside of a few good years from Minnesota. Ben, letting us know a little backdrop on the Mr. Carter song. It's about Lil Wayne, yes, a.k.a. Dwayne Michael Carter, leveling up to be compatible to a GOAT, Jay-Z, a.k.a. Sean Carter.
I was going to say, pretty sure there was a Carter connection going on. He knew the Jay-Z one was there. And well, was there considering
thank you, Ben. For
thank you, Ben.
Lil Wayne's name five of his albums.
Jordan provided zero. Well,
that's what we have listeners for.
Yeah.
Steve says, should it be Monty Williams and not CP3 when you asked today in our question of the day, who are you rooting for, CP or Drew? I'm telling you, some people are just not going to let it go, you know?
But it's a coach versus a player.
But you know what? Just for that. How about a little more from Alan Hahn?
New Orleans, you know where this relationship is going.
Yep.
You know where it's going. It's happened before. It's going to happen again. A young star who's there, who says all the right things, but quietly is also saying, yeah, I can't wait to get out of here.
Here we go. Here it is.
When you play for New Orleans, you never unpack.
Oh!
Let's just put it, you never unpack.
Golly.
You keep the suitcase, you never rent, unpack. And you know that eventually I'm getting out of here. Mm-hmm. Chris Paul eventually did it. Anthony Davis did it. Yep. Zion's going to do it. No. Why wait? Why get it done now.
How long was Chris Paul here? I mean, look, I know there's a thing called Katrina, which is why he started his career at OKC.
06
you know
to...
AD signed two deals.
2005 to 2011.
Yeah.
That's covered to one. Six?
Yeah.
Seven seasons, right? AD, Anthony Davis, was here quite some time. And right, 6-7 years, essentially, right? I mean, two contracts, right?
Yeah.
Would you call that unpacking time, like,
that's a long time to live out of a suitcase.
Exactly right. Long time. Same clothes. I mean, the term unpack means you're just staying in your own clothes, which makes sense since Anthony Davis said he did not pick out his own.
I mean, here's the thing.
He's not man enough to pick out his own uniform.
It's just
uniform,
such an
outfit.
Easy narrative to jump on. But again, to me, the intent of that athletic story, as much as it fueled a fire, I think that the whole point is trying to prevent this from eventually culminating in a third instance.
Fuel the fire.
Just kind of putting the feelers out there that change needs to happen. And instead of him coming out and requesting a trade, again, I don't know what the motivations behind that were, but I just feel like that is just a kind of a, you know, warning.
I'm telling you.
But
they say history repeats itself. But I feel like for Pelicans fans, history repeats itself quite often. Yeah,
you know what? I hear you. You're absolutely right. I better see a fantastic Zion Williamson in October.
But when we talked about this, when we played his end of the season press conferences, it started to seem like he was finally getting mad. And a lot of the times players need to get mad and have that chip on their shoulder. I mean, Tom Brady is an example of that. Like, goes kind of maniacal on the sidelines, but you have to hate losing more than you love winning. And
agreed.
I think that's what is missing from the Pelicans.
Hopefully that will motivate him to play defense.
I just don't understand. If you're an NBA player, are you not motivated?
Yeah.
Like,
well, you know,
if you're any professional athlete, how are you not motivated?
Well, I think it speaks to kind of just the fact that there was such a disconnect. It just seemed like
disconnect from what? Like, you control your own destiny.
You know, I just thought of something. The word clothes is attached to Anthony Davis a lot, isn't it?
Call him Anthony Street Clothes Davis because he's always in street clothes.
And didn't he kind of sit Zion for a while when he was coming back from injury and not really like playing him as much?
That was the organization.
Yeah.
What do you mean that was the organization?
Alvin Gentry was pretty
open about saying he wished he could play him. But yeah.
The organization was
the
extra
staff.
Careful to make sure Zion was really ready to go.
Right. But
Alvin would have loved to play. Yeah, the minute restriction things, you don't want to. If you sit in front of Alvin Gentry, I mean, the blood will boil.
Yeah, and I can understand like a level of frustration when you're out there and you're, you know, kind of triple covered and still driving in the paint, and then there's really nothing happening other than that. I can see where it's hard to really get in it. And I don't know. Some people are immediate, you know, we bring up like Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, but like there's a reason that, like, you know, they're in a league of their own, and I don't think it's that Zion can't get there, but sometimes it takes a while. And I'm, you know, looking at his size, you showed that high school video where he was just so dominant and so big. Kind of could be a case of the Aaron Rodgers where it's relying a little more on natural talent and a little less on having to build that competitive drive to make yourself better playing from a position of not, you know, being such a physical specimen. And so maybe that just took a while, but I did notice a palpable change in his attitude in that last press conference. And I think this season will say a lot about Zion's, like, you know, drive and will to win and hate of losing.
The crew of layup. That's going to be the next Mardi Gras.
Crew of layup. Are you with me now? Now I've shown you enough footage.
Who's the king of the crew of layup?
Well,
in Mardi Gras 2021.
Look, believe me,
or 2022.
There's no one more that wants to change that narrative He's got to make me change that name. Right? That's a nickname right now. Layup King.
Okay.
Yeah. It just is what it is.
I mean, he's not the one that didn't listen in a huddle and lost a game.
I understand that. Yeah, I totally do.
He should be that leader to get in someone's face to say, all right, we're not losing anymore.
I shouldn't have my vice president of basketball operations be like,
that's
we
where
didn't
it
protect,
speaks to me that there was just
him.
Like not, it just, what, yeah. there was, I don't know what was going on behind the scenes, but it didn't seem like there was really an environment where
nothing
like
much.
There was this, in, yeah, but you know, again, I don't know how restrictive that environment was to where players felt like they could or couldn't say anything. I clearly, last season, that relationship, that there was a philosophical mismatch, and
apparently it was a bleep show. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, because look, we've talked about it. There's a lot of different areas you can look at it. Individual efforts, attention to detail. And here's the other thing, because I saw a lot of people on the comments underneath the Stan Van Gundy commenting about the play on the Van Levitard show put, well, this is how you lose a locker room when you don't care about personalities. And again, I don't know if I'm extrapolating or if I'm trying to make a connection or a link that doesn't exist, but it could go to why you have the head of the team crying and begging for fouls and saying, we let you down. Where's his teammates? I said this the day he said it, and I said it today. If you're getting that fouled, even Stan Van Gundy last week said he's getting both hands broken. So apparently he's getting hacked so much.
Yeah.
He had broken fingers and hands.
Yeah, you could see it. I went to a lot of games and
you could
just see it.
Shove somebody. Get angry. When's the last time you saw him pop right back up or just get in someone?
But that might not be his personality. Steph Curry is
I understand
that. Angry.
Okay. But you saw in these playoffs, PJ Tucker.
I was about to say,
he also has Draymond Green, though, that's on his team to
get angry for him.
But what I'm saying is, you also see in this playoffs alone, teammates step up and get in somebody else's face when they think that their guy is getting fouled in something of that nature. But that's to the point that you're maybe bringing up. Maybe the locker room just wasn't like that. Maybe you don't have those personalities like that. Maybe that's why you need some sort of veteran to come in and does that. It's why the Graf loves a guy like Capella that goes out there and competes and gets like that. But that's my point. If your main guy, you're going to tell me Drew Brees keeps getting late hit? That somebody.
You saw Drew Brees get into defensive end spaces whenever he felt like he got hit harder.
I don't get it.
What? You don't think an offensive lineman or somebody on that team is going to like stand up for him and shove a lineman or something afterwards if they keep there's belief that he keeps getting late hit?
But again, it really seemed like, I don't know. This last season was weird. It was weird. The game atmosphere was weird. It was empty. It was just weird. But the vibe on the court also felt very weird. And I think when we were talking about people standing up for each other in the playoffs, I was going to say this before. I really think had they made it into that play-in and just gotten some playoff experience and known what it's like to really lose something where that's the end of it. It's not, well, we have next week. Well, we can, you know, fix this and we can still get in this. If you lose that, then you're done. And I think the Pelicans critically need that experience, and that might be what Zion needs to take it to the next level. And just because Kobe and Michael Jordan and these people were able to already have that drive before that type of experience, sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes, you know, we assume that he has his personality because he's so large and dominant, but for all we know, he could be an introverted, quiet person that's just not his personality type.
Yep.
But I did start to see a switch, so I'm very curious this season to see what Zion turns into.
I am too. Here's what Stan Van Gundy said today on the Dan Levitard show.
Well, I think that my priority was for good and bad. I mean, I can certainly, was not trying to diminish, you know, the faults that we had and the things that we didn't do well as a team, but I felt that the focus should be on what went on the court, what was good, what was bad, all of that. I think that Griff was more concerned with the atmosphere around the team and the happiness of people and things like that. That was probably the biggest difference. If I would have gone into a meeting and somebody would have said, hey, you were 31-41 and that's not good enough, I got no problem with that. I mean, that's what we sign up for in this business, right? I mean, regardless of circumstances, that's what we sign up for in this business. So, but that's not, you know, what it came down to, or at least not what I heard. It was just we look at things totally differently in terms of what's important.
Stay, man. Gunny, when we come back, we can make your comments on that here as well. Final segment of the show up next as well. From Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans. Love is mythical.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply, 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
Your life is mobile. So is your bank. As a State Bank and Trust Company account holder, you can check your balances, view transactions, transfer funds, and pay bills anywhere or anytime with State Bank and Trust Company's online banking or mobility app. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Okay, ladies, we all know one of the greatest feelings in the world when you get together with a friend and she says,
girl, those pants look amazing on you.
But even though I'm happy dancing inside, I just play it cool and say, thanks, they're Skechers Go Walk Wear pants. And why do I always get compliments on these casual, athletic, stretchy pants? Because whether I'm hanging with friends or working out, nothing beats the fit, comfort, and versatility of Skechers Go Walk Wear. They're made with comfortable Go Flex fabric that has compression and hold, including a double compression waistband. What's that mean? It gives me curves in all the right places and minimizes the spots where I want a little help. And the versatility is incredible. Go Walk Wear pants have four pockets, two back and two side. Plus, they're machine washable and come in extended sizes, so everyone can look great in these pants. Easy care, easy wear, and made to fit every body. That's the Skechers Go Walk Wear line of pants. Find yours at Skechers.com, a Skechers store, and find retailers everywhere.
Good afternoon.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Game one, NBA Finals tonight, Suns and Bucks. Who you got, Jordan?
I have the Suns.
You have the Suns?
I have the Suns.
Maddie?
It out
Suns.
Tonight.
Suns? How many games? Five or six?
Five. Why not?
Give me the full seven.
You going full seven?
Give me the full seven.
I could see it in six. I think Giannis, do you think Giannis comes back?
Well, I think that makes the difference in whether this is a five or a seven.
I think Vegas is on to something when they say that Phoenix is favored by six.
Right.
So I'm going to say the Suns tonight, and once they get Giannis back, I think they steal one, and then Phoenix steals one of the two games on the road.
Here's Malika Andrews, who will be on the sidelines during the NBA Finals, by the way. Here she is, latest update on Giannis.
Mike Budenholzer said that Giannis Antetokounmpo was able to get on the court for another basketball workout on Monday, but he declined to say exactly what Giannis was able to do, leaving it at just he is making progress. But he's officially listed as doubtful for game one of the NBA Finals, and so without him, the Bucks are going to need to continue to try to win by committee, as Chris Middleton detailed.
When Giannis is out there, a lot of times we could just give him the ball and let him go to work and, you know, let him orchestrate a lot of things out there. Without him, we have to do it by committee. But, you know, I think guys have done a great job of adjusting with him not out there in, you know, two of the most important games of our season.
I know that voice. It's Drew Holiday. Are you crying? Yeah, right? You good? What? All right, there's an update, though, since Malika's report this morning.
He's updated from doubtful to questionable, and it's a game-time decision.
Matty, we played earlier, Max Kellerman and others nationally saying that there needs to be an asterisk on this NBA Finals because of all the hurt players. Devin Booker don't want to hear it.
We're not here to, you know, justify what we're doing to anybody else, for real. I mean, we've had goals for this group and aspirations for this group since day one, and you know, we keep those in home for that reason. And we compete against each other, and we're on the constant pursuit to get better every day. And even during the regular season, simple play might go by and we stress it. We stress it. This can't happen. I know it doesn't matter right now, but later down the line, it can come back and get you, and we don't want that to happen. So just the focus for everybody, you know, to be locked in from top to bottom, not just the guys that are getting major minutes right now, you know, 1 through 15, 16, with the coaching staff, just locked in at all levels, preparing for this opportunity right here.
Hope the Pels heard that. Well,
winning is always, to me, a little bit of you know, opportunity, a little bit of luck in capitalizing on that. Mm-hmm. And like, teams are going to be injured. I mean, Chris Paul was vaccinated and out in COVID protocols for a couple of games.
And he had an injury as well.
Yeah. And then if you look at the NFL season where, you know, the 49ers basically became a non-factor in week two, do you say then that the Seahawks winning their division was an asterisk, or
was
it the Rams?
You went to the Super Bowl and Kansas City literally had no offense.
Yeah. And I mean, this every team suffers injuries, right. But you know, that is the name of the game. And just to say there's an asterisk because a team stayed healthy, again, yeah, is that lucky? Sure. But that's a lot of the time how teams win Super Bowls. The healthiest team makes it through the playoffs.
The Clippers lost Kawhi, and they pushed the Suns. I mean, in some of those games, if that tip-in from Aiden doesn't go in, they could have won that series. I didn't look at that as a walk-through series by the Suns in that, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I am interested, though. I am going to watch. Looking forward to it. Final tally, what you got between CP or Drew? What are people voting? It's one of our questions of the day.
Right now, who's leading the way? It's CP3 with 58.3%.
Okay. And it's not that I don't like Drew. Drew might have another year or so to go. You know, I like to see CP get into it. Maddie, we talked, and again, it's a position group we're going to hit on today. I don't know if there's a ton we can kind of get into any more than we already have discussed with the quarterbacks. But what is something that you think in 4 weeks' time when we start, what is something you're going to be paying attention to when you get out to the practice fields and look?
I mean, the obvious, mm-hmm. But I'm curious to see.
The battle for the third and fourth position. Yes, I knew it. I knew that's where
that
she was going.
That was exactly my first thought.
That's right. Yeah. ESPN put out a list of veterans that are on the bubble to make the roster. Surprisingly, it's a quarterback.
Yeah, it's the quarterback that I said most likely won't be on the roster by the end of training camp, Trevor Siemian. Right. You trade up to select Ian Book. We had John DeShazer on when Todd and I hosted while you were in Miami, and he said that he was just kind of taken aback by this kid's competitive nature and how much he like really, really, really wants to win and be in there. And he was one of the only players that the Saints drafted this year that the Saints had extensive pre-draft contact with. That seems very intentional to me, and I think it obviously depends kind of on how the quarterback situation goes, but to me, he also has that mobility that Trevor Siemian doesn't really have, and I think that's something, again, that Sean Payton really wants to have, and it's what the NFL is trending towards. It's what Kyle Shanahan saw beat him in the Bills and Josh Allen, then they went and got Trey Lance. So I think that, yeah, it is him, and I can't think of any other veteran on the team that's on a bubble that isn't, you know, playing at top level at this point. But
makes a lot of sense. When you look at the backfield is the other area that we're going to look at today. And the reason I'm not brushing over it, just there's Alvin, there's Latavius Murray, and then there's some other backs that we can discuss here as well. But I think it's a solid position group, right? Not a lot of turnover back in there. You're good to go. Let's play ball. Am I missing anything there? What is something that you think? Because last year you saw Sean Payton use Latavius Murray and Alvin Kamara almost in a dual set, mm-hmm. really, and really use both to their ability. You think we see more of that this year, especially with the new quarterback?
Almost. Absolutely. But what did stick kind of out to me in Alvin Kamara's new training videos, you know, the last couple seasons have been him, you know,